John 8, verse 31 to 36. Liberty. Number one, falseness. Number two, faith. Number three, freedom. Put up your hand if you ever watched the film Braveheart. Mel Gibson, if you haven't watched it, watch it. Here he is in the 13th century, this Scottish warrior who wants to liberate his people from the King of England. Remember the battles. Remember how eventually he's captured. Remember how he's put upon the rack and stretched, tortured, eventually to be executed. But as it's taking place and he's surrounded by the people looking at this obscene sight, the magistrate says, he wants to say a word. And a word he says, he roars it from the very depth of his soul. Freedom! Of course, it's easy to talk about freedom. Lots of people say, I want to be free to do what I like any old time. That, in fact, is not freedom. That is slavery. You remember that Freddie Mercury, I want to break free. And yet he was a slave. Slave to his ego, slave to his passions, slave to his fears, slave to his guilt. You see, when is a train most free? It's free when it runs along the lines. And there are men and women in our world today claiming that they are free, and yet they're ensnared and trapped, some of them by alcohol, addicted to alcohol, addicted to gambling, addicted to pornography, addicted to cocaine or heroin. Have these addictions which absolutely enslave them and yet claim to be free as they do these things. This evening we're in John chapter 8, where the Lord Jesus Christ declares, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. You know, the Gospel of John has been called the Gospel of signs and sayings. In biblical numerology, number 7 is the number of perfection. And in this wonderful gospel, our Lord Jesus Christ makes 7 wonderful sayings, 7 wonderful claims. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. And to substantiate those 7 claims, those 7 sayings, he comes with these 7 miracles: water into wine, the healing of the nobleman's son, the healing at the pool of Bethesda, the feeding of 5,000, the walking on the water, the man who's born blind, the raising of Lazarus. Because you see, in the prologue, we learned that Jesus Christ is essentially and eternally and equally God. And these sayings and these signs substantiate that truth. And here in John 8, one of those sayings has been said already. I am the light of the world. And then Jesus has been surrounded by his enemies, entered into dialogue and debate and into conflict, because he claims to be the eternal Son of God. But as we come to these verses in verse 31, we read verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are of offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? This section begins with falseness. It looks as if those who've been opposing Jesus are now trusting Jesus. It looks as if they're now believing in Jesus. But no, they say we are of the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved by anyone. But of course they were slaves. They were slaves to their own elitism. They were slaves to their own self-righteousness. They were slaves to sin. Those who have believed, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. We are of the offspring of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. You see, they look like true believers. Perhaps at some point they sounded like true believers. You would believe that they are following Jesus, but in fact, there is a real falseness about the people to whom Jesus addresses. We know that very clearly as you look down to the end of the passage. They want to kill Jesus. They call Jesus a liar. They believe that Jesus has a demon. They're out to destroy him. They're not true believers. They're not followers of the truth and him who is the truth. We're of Abraham, and we've never, ever, ever been in slavery. How untrue is that, by the way? Do you know the story of Abraham? Do you know the story of the Battle of the Kings? Chedorlaomer? Do you know the story of bondage? Do you know the story of rescue of Lot? Of course they've been in bondage. Don't you know that for 400 years there were slaves in the land of Egypt? Don't you know there were slaves in Babylon? Don't you know there were slaves to Medo-Persia? Don't you know there were slaves under the Greek Empire? Don't you know as Jesus is actually speaking these words, they are slaves to the Roman Empire? And yet they say, we are of the offspring of Abraham. We have never been enslaved to anybody. How false and untrue is that? What they're really saying is we are the elite. We are the elect. We are God's elect. Let all the rest be damned. There's only room for us. We don't want heaven crammed. We are the ones whom God has chosen. We are the ones who have the patriarchs and the prophets and the scriptures. We are the elite. Not only so, they are slaves to their own self-righteousness. We're not in slavery to anyone. In fact, they are in slavery to sin. Jesus himself will say so. They're deluded. What's more, there's hatred in their heart and falseness on their tongue and murder in their hands. They want to kill Jesus of Nazareth. They are not true offspring of Abraham. They are slaves to sin. They're not truly the disciples of Jesus. They're not following the truth. They're not believing the truth. They're not knowing him who is the truth. Falseness. J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, said these words, "The most dangerous place in the world to be is halfway to Jesus." Do you remember the children's story last week? Almost I'm persuaded to be a Christian. I'm almost convinced, says Agrippa. Almost convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. Almost convinced that he's risen from the dead. Almost convinced that though he changed you, Paul, he could change me. I'm almost there. But it's a dangerous place. Because it says, I will accept Jesus as my Savior. Maybe he'll work miracles. Maybe he'll bring light into my darkness. Maybe he'll set me free from the bondage of my sins and those things that enslave me. But he's only my Savior. I don't want him as my Lord, as my King. There will be no true repentance. There will be no true submission. There will be no bowing to his lordship and kingship. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus Christ himself said in that Sermon on the Mount? How frightening are these words. The words of the Son of God. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord. They're orthodox. Did we not prophesy in your name? We're preachers and predictors in the name of Jesus. We cast out demons in your name. We do miracles. We can work against the occult. We do many mighty works in your name. Everyone says, wow, look at him, look at her, look at what they do. And I will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Falseness. Not everyone who says they are a follower of Jesus Christ is a follower of Jesus. Number two, faith. Our Lord Jesus Christ will now make it plain what true faith is, what it means to truly follow the Son of God, what it is to know true freedom through submission to Jesus Christ. Look what he says. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Here's what true faith is. J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, gave an acrostic to faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. All of my confidence, all of my boast, all of my hope for time and for eternity, forsaking all others is in him and in him alone. Here says Jesus, if you want to know what true faith is, it's a man or woman who abides in my word. Who is constantly in my word, who knows my word, who knows the truth, who loves the truth. Do you remember what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Constantly abiding in the vine and in the word. Jesus is the true vine, but he is the living word. And knowing his word, submitting to his word, loving his word, obeying his word, persevering in his word, knowing the truth as it's found in Jesus, and knowing the Son. Because in this gospel, Jesus has declared himself to be the Son of the living God, the Son of God, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. He is the true Messiah. He really is the sent one. And this is what faith is. It's abiding in the Word. It's knowing the truth. It's knowing the Son. Or knowing the Son, you are set free. You remember that the Apostle Paul illustrated that for us. Remember when he wrote saying, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's Christ in me. It's faith in him. It's walking by faith, not by sight. It is knowing the Son, whom to know is life eternal. Abiding in the Word, knowing the truth, knowing the Son of God. Faith, true faith. Thirdly, this is about freedom. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. All those who commit sin are slaves to sin. That's what Jesus has said. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Free from sin's slavery, from its bondage, from its weight. Here is Christian. He's carrying, you remember, this great burden of sin. He comes to the cross. His burden is rolled away at the cross when I first saw the light. And the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm rejoicing all the day. The Son setting you free from its slavery, from its burden. Not only setting us free, but free to become a son and heir. Do you notice what it says? It says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. This is a reference, of course, back to the time of Abraham. Abraham had been promised the promised one, the promised son. But remember how he becomes impatient. Remember how Sarai says, take Hagar. Abraham, whatever you do, don't take Hagar, please. It'll affect the whole world right up until our day. But he takes Hagar. And the son of slavery is born, Ishmael. And there's pain and heartache, isn't there? And he's cast out into the wilderness. And he doesn't become a son and heir. It's when Isaac, the promised one, he becomes a son. He becomes an heir. So it is. True freedom comes when sin's slavery is broken at the cross and in a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we become united to Christ, united to him in his life, united to him in his death, united to him in his burial, united to him in his resurrection, united to him in his ascension, united to him in his exaltation. Yes, united to Jesus Christ. And we become a son and an heir, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit and confirms that we are the sons and daughters of the living God. How wonderful, how amazing, how marvelous is that? Of course, there are those who say to me, well, I've been in the faith and I love the Lord Jesus Christ more than anyone and anything in this life. And I pray every day that the Lord will help me overcome this or help me face this or help me deal with this. Friends, when the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. For every one look at yourself, you need 10 looks at Jesus. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who's made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my guilty soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. Hallelujah. He has broken sin's penalty. He has broken sin's slavery. I will be what I would be, and I shall be what I should be, and things which are not now nor could be, then shall be our own. And right now in the record book of heaven, I am standing justified by faith and glorified by our Lord Jesus Christ, seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For if the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. So let me ask you, as far as you can genuinely discern, are you a bona fide, genuine follower of Jesus? Or is your life characterized by falseness? In your heart, do you really hate him? would you gladly say, if only I could be free from this Jesus so I could live as I please? Let me ask you, do you have true faith? Do you love God's word? And do you love him who is the living word? And you're in submission and obedience to him? Do you know him, whom to know is life eternal? And are you looking unto Jesus? And has he set you free? I read the story of Michael McIntyre, the comedian. He's driving his big Range Rover. Two hooded motorcyclists come with a hammer and they smash the window. He's frightened. He stops the car. They insist on getting his watch and they insist on getting his wallet. Because his child is in the back, he gives them to them, terrified. I read that there's an epidemic of this sort of behavior going on in the name of those who claim to be free to do whatever they like. But then I read another story, a story of a medical surgeon who receives an emergency phone call. You must come to the hospital now. You have the skill to perform wonders upon this person here. He jumps into his car to take a shortcut. He goes through a very difficult part of the city. As he's driving to the city, he stops at lights. Someone opens the car, threatens him with a gun. Give me your keys. But I'm a medical doctor. I'm going to perform an operation. Give me the keys now. He looks at the man. He's shabbily dressed. He smells of alcohol. But he gets out the car, gives it to him. He rings up the hospital. I'm going to be late. I'm going to have to flag down a taxi. Eventually, he flags down a taxi. He arrives half an hour later than he anticipated arriving if he had been driving his own car. I'm sorry. So sorry. It's too late. If he'd been here half an hour earlier, he may have been saved. His relative is in the room. Why don't you go and see him? He walks into the room. There's a shabbily dressed man smelling of alcohol. He stole the car of the person who could save his friend's life. Don't miss out on where true freedom lies. It lies alone in Jesus. Let's stand and sing.